Morning, everybody. We're going to get this meeting started. If you can silence your mobile devices, please.
Yeah, you're good.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Today is September 19th. It is 10:02 p.m. A.M. Excuse me. 2023. There's a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. You can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, moving on to item number three on today's agenda is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda, and those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment today? All right, not seeing any, we're going to move right along to item number four. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for September 19th, 2023. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding the items on today's agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
All right. There's a motion. I'll second that motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. On to item number five, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes from the June 20, 2023 meeting. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you.
All right. How about public comment regarding the minutes for June? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from our June 20th, 2023 meeting as presented.
All right. There's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. On to item number six, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the minutes from the July 18th, 2023 meeting. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments?
I have nothing. Thank you.
All right. How about the public? Is there any public comment about those minutes? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from our July 18th, 2023 meeting as presented.
All right, there's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. On to item number seven is today's consent agenda. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything about the consent agenda?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
All right. There's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. On to item number eight. This is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. We're going to kick things off with the Sheriff's Office.
Good morning, Commissioners.
I have a little speech to read here, some good news, some good stuff, I think. Nevada Joining Forces Traffic Safety Program was initiated back in 2001. It's a simple way for law enforcement agencies in Nevada to join together to conduct high visibility enforcement and education of Nevada's traffic safety laws, including use of seatbelts, impaired driving, distracted driving, speeding, and pedestrian laws. Every year at the Nevada Traffic Safety Summit, officers working Joining Forces events are selected for awards for their performance and passion to reduce the number of motor vehicle crash injuries and fatalities through public education and high visibility enforcement. Nevada has been recognized nationally as having a model coordination effort on a statewide basis for high visibility traffic enforcement. The results of this effort have been undeniably successful in reducing roadway fatalities and serious injuries. During the annual Traffic Safety Summit hosted by Department of Public Safety, which was just last week, the Office of Traffic Safety and the Nevada Department of Transportation, the Story County Sheriff's Office won several awards for our participation in Joining Forces program this year. And just a side note, we came into the program a few months late. We started in January of this year rather than September of last year. But I did want to read off the deputies that were receiving awards. And sadly, we haven't gotten everybody together yet to give them their awards, but we'll be doing that this week. Starting off, outstanding performance, increasing pedestrian safety. Deputies Jacob Smiley, Dave Ranson, and Sergeant Chris Hamblin were recognized. And just so you know, this is a room of about 200 or 300 people down in Clark County, all having to do with traffic safety statewide. So having our officers stand out was pretty fantastic for us. Outstanding performance, reducing impaired drivers. Deputy Eli Kerr was recognized for that. Outstanding performance of enforcement of speed and education of speed. Deputies Mike Simons and Deputy Cody Holloway were recognized for that. Outstanding officers for increasing pedestrian safety. Sergeant Chris Hamblin, Deputy Dave Ranson, and Deputy Smiley were all recognized for that. Outstanding leadership and coordination. Deputy Dave Ranson, Coordinator of the Year. Deputy Dave Ranson, Officer of the Year. Deputy Dave Ranson. This was an awesome one. I thought was pretty fantastic. Outstanding grant management, Jennifer McCain, for her work with our grant. The Nevada Traffic Safety Summit Committee also recognized Deputy Dave Ranson with the 2023 Nevada Traffic Safety Leadership Award. He was the only deputy north of Clark County to be recognized by that group. So I thought that was pretty fantastic. And overall, the Story County Sheriff's Office was recognized as the Joining Forces Most Innovative Agency of the Year, coming in late and getting our program up and running. On top of all of that, we were awarded a $10,000 equipment grant right at the end of the event. So everything was looking really good, and I'm very proud of our folks in Story County for our efforts this year with their traffic safety and joining forces. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
Great. Thank you for that wonderful update, Mike. Vice Chairman, anything?
I don't have any questions. Yeah, congratulations to the deputies for their great work.
Sure. All right, moving right along to the Fire Protection District. Thank you, sir. We're going to mix things up. Community Development Director Pete Renault.
Good morning, Commissioners. I've got more of a statement than anything else's. As Commissioner Mitchell knows, I've been attending the mixers, the BC mixer, historic district meetings, trying to get the word out about the boardwalk. I'm calling it Operation Boardwalk. We need to get the boardwalk fixed and get it in nice shape. It's not in very good shape right now. So we're trying to find some solutions of how we can maybe work as a team to get the thing fixed by next fall. So we have a nice new looking boardwalk. There are ordinances for it, and unfortunately, I'd say 70% of the boardwalk's in pretty poor shape. On another note, I'd like to thank Mike Cullen, Sheriff Cullen, for his help with the nuisance program. His deputy's been great. It's something we never encountered before, and it's working out well. That's all I've got for today.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Pete. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for your hard work, Mike. All right, real quick. All right, Laura's not with us today. Honey's not here. Somebody doing their update? No. Honey and Laura, okay. How about emergency management? Adam Wilson.
Morning, Adam Wilson with Emergency Management. For the record, a couple of quick updates. FD, the Sheriff's Office, myself, we're working on planning a big evac scenario for the Highlands in the spring. It's going to be a full-scale exercise for wildfire evacuation. So we'll be more information coming on that as we move through the year. Our next local emergency planning committee meeting is Wednesday, October 11th at 10 a.m. out at the McCarran Complex. That does conflict with the THERA conference that the state is holding, so it'll also be available over Zoom because a lot of the attendees are going to be at that conference in Carson at the same time. The EOP and all of its supporting annexes were submitted to you yesterday afternoon. So we're hopeful that we'll be able to get moving forward with getting that finalized. And I want to give a special shout out to all the department heads on that. They were incredible in helping me get all that information up to date. There was a lot of work involved and the departments were really supportive in getting that done. Next, we are evaluating the safety manual right now in the safety committee, and we should be able to get that to you hopefully next month for final approval of the new safety manual for the county. That is all I have. Any questions?
Thank you, Adam. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thanks, Adam.
All right. Appreciate the update. Moving right along to the VCTC, Todd Tuttle.
Good morning. Todd Tuttle, Director of Tourism for the Virginia City Tourism Commission. Happy to report a wonderful camel races experience as we went in through Friday, almost sold out. Saturday shows, both 10 and 2 were sold out, and Sunday was completely sold out. Very effective operating system with a shuttle moving people from the fairgrounds up to C Street, and a very positive feedback for most of the merchants around town and the flow of the people being able to get down to the show and back again. So very successful, very happy with everything, and appreciation to all the departments that helped out to be there to make sure everything went smoothly, from the sheriff's department, the fire department, et cetera. So coming up, of course, we have on September 22nd, 23rd, this weekend, Street Vibrations. We anticipate keeping C Street open, but we will have parking for motorcycles for in the main part of the town, from Sutro up to basically the firehouse subs location, the firehouse grill, to be able to have location for the motorcycles to be parking. The outhouse races, October 7th and 8th, C Street will be closed to have those motorcycle races or those outhouse races to function. And coming up for October, we have a number of events, special identity for Haunttober, as we're referring to it. Look for magicians on C Street during the weekends and a few other activities that will be special to that month. And of course, on October 10th, another mix and mingle for the merchants. There we'll have Sherry Davis from the Governor's Office of Economic Development talking about the various grants and things that are available for the merchants to take advantage of. So quite a bit coming up and some great successes behind us. That's my report.
All right. Thank you very much, Todd. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything for Todd?
Good. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. How about the planning department? Kathy Canfield.
Nothing today.
All right. Thanks, Kathy. How about the recorder's office? Reporter McPherson.
Good morning. Drew McPherson, recorder. I'm excited to announce the recorder's office and Dowell Engineering have completed a project to take existing patented mining claim location data and display it in an interactive online GIS map. The map uses current Google Earth style imagery and overlays the patented mining claim data on top, so it's much easier to see the claim's location relative to real life buildings and landmarks. Users can search for claims by name, US survey number, mining parcel number, and general location. The map only displays patented claims for now, but we're looking to add unpatented mining claims in the future. For unpatented claims, we have traditional surveyor maps available. The link will be added to our website sometime this week, and one of my deputies is adding it to the chat now for those on Zoom. If you have any questions, just let me know.
Thank you, Drew. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything for Drew?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you for that update. On to the IT department, IT Director James Dean. All right, thank you. How about human resources? Randy Lopez.
Good morning, Commissioners. Austin, this is Brandy Lopez for the record. I just wanted to give you guys a quick update for our new program for HR, the NeoGov. We are going through with everything. We have our first meeting tomorrow, kickoff meeting, and we have a timeline for progress, and we should hopefully have everything up and going by December. So look forward to that.
Wonderful. That's it. All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything for Brandy? All right. How about Stacy York, Senior Center Director?
Good morning, Stacy York for the record. I am filled with dates and times, so I apologize in advance. Please check social media and the county website for all these dates if you need them. So the first one is our resource fair that we're having at Piper's Opera House. That's October 4th, noon to 6 p.m. There'll be a flu and COVID shot clinic from noon to 4 on that same day at Piper's. Around the county, we have other flu shot clinics. We have down in Mark Twain, October 11th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. October 17th, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Down in Lockwood, October 19th, 9 a.m., 11 a.m. VC Highlands, October 18th, 4:30 to 6:30. Here at the Virginia City Senior Center, September 29th, 9 to 11, and October 25th, 9 to 11. And that is my update.
Thank you, Stacy. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything for Stacy?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thanks again. How about the DA's office?
Nothing to report today, Mr. Chairman, thanks.
All right, always good news, thank you. How about County Manager Osborne?
Thank you, Commissioners. Austin Osborne for the record. I don't really have a lot for the County Manager's office, but I have a long list of things from Public Works. So they asked me to take a look at. We'll start with them. So Jason Zberke, the director for Public Works, asked that I report on 6 Mile Canyon Road. Last week, they installed about 160 feet of culverts around the mine pond area where there's a lot of washouts. And they also did a lot of shoulder work. And they want to thank the fire district for their fuel crews down there helping them out with tree removal and brush and that sort of thing. Down at Painted Rock, they have done mowing along the canals for brush and other fuels. Down at Tri-Center, there was a substantial supercell yesterday, storm. And my understanding is that it washed out a good portion of 2 feet of mud over Electric and USA Parkway. Apparently, a semi-truck got stuck in the middle of 2 feet of mud, and they had to pull it out with a wrecker, split it in half and do it in two phases, and then not only did Jason clean 2 feet of mud off of Electric Avenue, but then NDOT was not able to get to USA Parkway. So then he immediately went over and cleaned up USA Parkway because it was completely closed and impassable. The Highway Patrol had kept everything cordoned off during that time, and that is where that truck was stuck. So he had some fun yesterday. Speaking of Electric Avenue, we are in the midst of that rehabilitation program. The gas line has been put in place to one of our companies out there, and SNC won the bid to rehabilitate that highway. I mean, repave, complete redo with the whole base and all that stuff. That will take about 90 days. And I do want to remind you that per the GSA with Tesla, they are paying approximately $2.7 million of that road rehabilitation. Station 72, the building that will accommodate or facilitate a community center in the Highlands, believe it or not, has commenced again. That project, they're going to work around NV Energy that has to work around some electrical installations, but it is moving forward. It is going to get done. Public Works asked me to read about a concession stand at the ball field that was damaged due to water and infiltration during the last storm. There was an upper window, apparently. It was not a real window. It was just plexiglass, and because of that, it leaked and it caused damage. So the insurance didn't cover it. It was about $4,800 worth of damage. It was actually $4,824.11 worth of damage. We will put a new real window in there, and that will fix the problem permanently. The Sheriff's Office substation is being installed today. So that should be a celebratory moment in Lockwood to see the old one go out and the new one come in. Some other projects at Public Works of Mike Northern are working on. There's the Virginia City Senior Center Breezeway project, the Lockwood Senior Center. We all know that's proceeding forward, and there are some benchmarks made today that project's actually getting ready to go out to RFP. The Taylor Street opening up. The engineering is getting near complete with that, so we can get that opened up and, you know, go out to bid to get it rehabilitated. And then the Tri-Center, we have a signal as we know, going on in south of USA Parkway. It's a substantial intersection. We're working with NDOT and the adjacent property owners on who's responsible for what and putting in a major traffic signal. That's been going on for quite some time and probably will continue to. And then the little corner here, you remember the B Street Barn? That will be a new project that will come online to get it cleaned up and get it stabilized enough where some of the fire equipment and historic vehicles down at 75 could be relocated up here to Virginia City once again, putting a glass garage door on the front of that building so the public can look at the historic equipment inside, and it would be tied in with Liberty Engine 1, be managed in the same group of people. That's all for Public Works. As far as mine, this is very preliminary at this point, but our IT director, James Dean, and our team are looking at the current website that has some issues. The format of it, one of the issues, especially as the public that wants to get in and get the updates to agendas and e-blasts and those sorts of things, there's some real problems with the way that website format is structured. James has spent a tremendous amount of time with a revised group trying to get this straightened out. We are looking at all of our options, including potentially reverting maybe back to another format at one point or another. But first, we're going to explore all of our opportunities with this first. The department heads are aware, and they're also in discussions about any potential impacts or trying to mitigate those impacts. That's all I have.
Thank you, Austin. Mr. Sherman Mitchell, do you have anything for Austin?
No, I don't. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
How about the clerk treasurer's office? All right. Thank you. I don't see Eric Schoen with us. I'm going to do a quick update for St. Mary's Arts Center. Director Erica Perry was down at the International Art Show down at the Reno Convention Center. The turnout was pretty good. I believe we sold a few pieces of art there. So thank you to those who purchased. The big one I want to update on is the God Monster Fall Art Reception. For those of you that don't know, apparently there was a movie made in 1973. I will not give you any details on the movie. I'll make you watch it yourself. But apparently it was filmed partially at the St. Mary's Art Center. I heard it's definitely worth watching. At the fall reception, it's October 14th, 1 to 4 p.m. It's free to the public. I believe that they'll be showing the movie throughout the entire day. We're fortunate enough to grab some the old movie theater seats that came out of what is now Grandma's Fudge. I know that they reconstructed the movie theater there at the St. Mary's Art Center. If you have not been down there, it's definitely worth checking out. So October 14th, 1 to 4 p.m., it'll be the God Monster Fall Art Reception. And I'm just making sure I'm not missing the other dates. Check out the St. Mary's website for more details if you want them. That will conclude our... Actually, is there anybody that I missed before we close out? All right, that'll conclude our staff reports. Bring us back to the next item on our agenda, which is board comment. I'm going to start off on my left. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything for us today?
The only comment I have is that God Monster and Indian Flats is such a spectacularly bad movie. I think that's what makes it good. So if you get a chance, check it out. It's bad in the best way possible. I don't have any other comments other than just a kind of an encouragement or reminder to be thinking ahead. We're already kind of headed back into heavy weather season, and so maybe take inventory around your place and just think about what you need to do to be prepared. If we believe the Farmer's Almanac, it may be a year like last year. I think it's good for everyone to think ahead a little bit and get prepared for whatever might come, especially up here in the high country.
All right. Thank you, sir. The only update I have was just to give a recap of the volunteer firefighter spaghetti feed that was in the Highlands on September 9th. It was a fantastic turnout. For those of you that didn't make it, I would suggest keeping an eye on it for next year. Had to be over 150 people there. I don't have an exact count, but it was a great time. Great to see a lot of neighbors. Some county folks were there, but it was a successful event, and hopefully they raised some much needed funds for their organization. If you are interested in becoming a volunteer firefighter, I would suggest you reach out to the fire department here and they can turn you on to the volunteer fire chief and he can get you the information you need to join. So with that, that concludes board comment, bringing us to item number 10, which is discussion for possible action. Discussion and consideration of approval of resolution number 23-706, recognizing and commending Story County employees who have served 10 to 15 years of service to the county. Brandy?
So the proposed resolution recognizes and commends Story County employees who served 10 to 15 years of service to Story County. We appreciate and thank these employees for their service and the citizens, businesses, and stakeholders of the county. We have two employees for this 10 years of service. John Miller, he could not be with us today, but we would like to recognize him. And our second is Mike Simons.
Honor's not here.
You're gonna jump in.
Oh,
you can.
And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Brandy. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any questions or comments about this?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure. Sorry, I didn't get to it in my...
No problem.
I'm sitting here listening and not following along in the packet. All right. Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve resolution number 23-706, recognizing and commending Story County employees who have 10 to 15 years of service to the county.
All right, there's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Before we move on to the next agenda item, I was just notified. Some of you may know Maggie Lowther was a longtime Virginia City resident, apparently has passed away. So before moving on, if we could just take a moment of silence for Maggie and those who maybe flew under the radar. All right, thank you. On to item number 11. This is discussion for possible action. Reconveyance file number 23-036 of ownership of approximately 879 linear feet of undeveloped Electric Avenue right-of-way located north of Milan Drive on the west side of Electric Avenue adjacent to APN 005-111-71 and encompasses approximately 39,027 square feet in area. Property is located within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada. The request includes adopting resolution number 23-703, a written offer of reconveyance and a deed of reconveyance. Kathy?
Yes, good morning. So Kathy Campbell for the record. Excuse me. So this is a request to reconvey a portion of the Electric Avenue right-of-way. This is a section of right-of-way that's 200 feet wide. And for the entirety of Electric Avenue, it fluctuates between 100 feet wide and 200 feet wide. So this is an area that it's at its widest spot. What's constructed in this area is the roadway itself was constructed towards the east side of the right-of-way line. And so we have a roadway shoulder, we have two lanes of traffic, we have a center lane, we have two more lanes of traffic, and we have a significant roadside drainage ditch. And then a slope, and then just the property. What the applicant that owns the property that's adjacent to this had asked if we would consider abandoning any of this. It's not an abandonment, it's a reconveyance based on the legal aspect of this. But Public Works worked with the applicant to look at that to see what our thoughts would be on it. We had them have their property surveyed and that right-of-way surveyed that section. We looked at the drainage ditch itself, the slope of the drainage ditch, and then they added 5 feet to the top of the slope. And everything that's shown on page, I think it's page 6 of the staff report that's shown in yellow, is what's in excess of that, all those improvements that were done. Upon looking at that, staff and Public Works agreed that that probably is excess land that we are not going to need for any kind of public purpose for the right-of-way. And so we were in agreement with the applicant that we would move this forward for your consideration. We don't believe, staff doesn't believe that we need this for a public purpose any longer because those drainage improvements have been done. This is kind of a unique situation where this parcel of land has drainage channels on all four sides. And the area that's the roadside channel, a lot of this drainage that's coming from the south already turns kind of on the south end of this property into the larger drainage channel too. So we're not really anticipating needed drainage facilities in that location either. So as part of this, if the board agrees to reconvey this, we need to also have the resolution that we're finding that this is no longer needed for a public purpose, and it's in the county's best interest to reconvey the land. We feel that this land would eliminate the need to do weed control, erosion control measures on that, and it would go back into the, lets the applicant develop their property and becomes part of the taxable area of their land. This is a little different. We had the Tesla reconveyance a few months ago, or maybe a year ago now. Time flies. This is a little different than that because Tesla had, they were actually taking control of a portion of roadway and they had a reimbursement that they needed to pay the county because the county had paid for that roadway to be constructed. This is different that there's no improvements on this land that we would be giving away or get reconveying, to the property owner. So there isn't any kind of fee associated with that Tesla did because they were actually getting improvements. So I believe the applicant's here online, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Kathy. Before I check with Vice Chairman Mitchell or the public, does the applicant have anything they want to say?
Hi, good morning. My name is Caitlin Moore for the record with Buzz Oats, and I wanted to thank you all for hearing our action item today. This reconveyance allows us to expand our planned industrial building by enough to make it more marketable for this challenging economy that we're seeing. So we're really excited about the opportunity. And we've worked really hard with the city staff and our surveyor to make sure that this is an appropriate move for you guys as well. So thank you for your consideration today.
All right. Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments?
I guess my only, I don't have any issues with kind of the direct action here. I guess my question is this something that we anticipate may happen on going forward on a regular basis? Is this kind of a one-off unique situation? Just trying to look at if it is something that may happen, and I'm not talking about this parcel particularly, but in general in the business park, if it's something that may come up on a regular basis, are there guidelines or is there a way we can standardize it to some extent so that it's not kind of a as it pops up type of a thing?
I don't believe this will happen that often. This is an area where a 200-foot right-of-way is pretty unique for the area. Most of the right-of-ways are about 100 feet with the exception of USA Parkway, which is larger and not under our control any longer. I think we kind of look at these as a case-by-case basis anyway. Does it make sense? What do we think our future needs are? How is everything constructed? What's the topography of what that area is? So I think this is just an oddity that both of these have come up within the last year.
Okay, thank you. And just to make absolutely sure that we feel comfortable that future growth and whatever, and I know you already said this, but that it won't put us in a tough situation that where we would need more of a right of way through this section.
Working with Public Works, we don't believe so. If you're looking back on that page six, you can see the blue at the very top of the page. Mm-hmm. This is where it jogs back to the 100-foot right-of-way. And there's actually buildings that are at that 50-foot setback on the adjacent property. So, you know, the potential of widening something just for this little spot that doesn't, in the middle of the road, it's not next to the intersections or anything else. It doesn't seem logical that we would need anything there.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. I don't have any questions. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. There's no findings, right, Kathy?
There's no findings. The motion includes the approval for the reconveyance and the adoption of the resolution that needs to be made to show that we don't need this for a public purpose and it's in the best interest of the county.
All right. Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, hereby move to approve the reconveyance of ownership of approximately 879 linear feet of undeveloped Electric Avenue right-of-way located north of Milan Drive on the west side of Electric Avenue, adjacent to APN 005-111-71, and encompasses approximately 39,027 square feet in area. The property is located within the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, McCarran, Story County, Nevada. The request includes adopting resolution number 23-703, a written offer of conveyance and a deed of reconveyance.
There's a motion. I'm going to second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Caitlin, thank you for being here. Moving on to item number 12. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval for the clerk and clerk treasurer on behalf of the First Judicial District Court of Story County to one, enter into an agreement with Tyler Technologies, Inc. for their enterprise jury manager SaaS module at a one-time installation and first-year service of $59,175. Annual use fees for the service will be $21,358 in fiscal year 24-25 and $22,268 for the 25-26 fiscal year. And item number two, accept a grant award of $29,406.82 under the Coronavirus Emergency Supplemental Funding Program from the Department of Public Safety Office of Criminal Justice Administration to mitigate the current fiscal year budget impact of installation and service fees. Clerk Treasurer Hindle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for reading that. I know it was a challenge getting that all out straight.
Yeah, thank you.
I'd also like to bring your attention that I am joined today by Max Cortez on Zoom, who is the court administrator for the First Judicial Court, District Court down in Carson City. And I have to commend Max for so much support on getting this proposal and evaluation done. As you read, we have two parts to this. The first part, and as we've talked at previous meetings about the need for a more efficient and a more capable system for us to manage jury trials. And this is coming up because we as a county, as we have more activity, especially out at Tribe, but across the county, we are encountering more trials that potentially will become a jury trial. And we have to manage the jury pools and the check-in and processing of juries through the trial. And right now, as we've talked before, we've been doing that basically by hand and spreadsheet. And Alicia Duke, the deputy clerk treasurer for the district court, has done a great job a year ago when we had a potential jury trial of managing jury pool, the jury contact and communication, and then the jury selection process down in Carson City since the trial was moved down to that courtroom. She was doing that all based on a spreadsheet and handwritten notes to keep track of what was going on. This new Tyler system is going to allow us to put that all in a system that can be managed and can provide greater opportunity for the rest of the clerks to assist Alicia and the court in the management of jury trials. And the most important part of why the Tyler jury manager system is the one we've selected is because it is the same system that is used by the district court in Carson City. So whether we have a trial here or a trial there, we have a seamless system that we can use, a cloud-based system that we can use, where we also have clerks in Carson City who are familiar with the system to assist us with the processing of juries down there. We have two parts of this today. As you read, Mr. Chair, we have the Tyler Jury Management Systems Agreement. And as you read, the fees for that are broken in, the first year are broken into two parts. We have an installation fee and then a first year use fee. The total of that is going to be $59,175. And then the contract that we are proposing to, I'm asking for authorization to enter into would be a three-year agreement where there is costs projected for 24, 25, and 25, 26. So we know what these costs are going to be for the next 3 years. The big benefit that we have right now, and this is where Max Cortez down in the Carson City District Court has been such a significant help, is that we have a grant that is available that will help us offset this first year cost of implementation and first year use. That grant and the amount of $29,406.82 is available to the end of this month. That's why we're bringing this up a little faster than I had originally planned, is because Max has identified this grant and we need to get the agreement with Tyler signed in order to qualify by the end of this month for these funds. The other opportunity we have is that the plan going forward is for the district court for Story County to implement the system. And then as we go forward, we're also going to share that system with the justice court, as there are opportunities or there are going to be situations where the justice court also has jury trials. And so they can, for this same installation fee, become a second user and be able to manage their jury trials with the same system. We will come forward with an agreement with the Justice Court at a future date, but that is part of the plan, and the Justice Court will help with some of the budget on this. The budget for this system is not, or the cost for this system is not in the current budget for the District Court or the Clerk Treasurer's Office. So this will be an augmentation that we will come forward with, and the Comptroller, Jennifer McCain, has been integral into discussions, and we are confident that with the grant, we will have funds available to work this in and be able to fund this without a problem. And then secondly, even if we didn't get the grant, we could very much have funds that we could augment in order to cover this, given the fact that we are looking at a potential couple jury trials in the next year, calendar year. Max, I'll leave it to you. Have I forgotten anything? Anything you want to add?
Good morning. Max Cortez, Court Administrator for the record. No, I think you did a comprehensive coverage of the system. The only thing that I would say is the judges are in full support of the system. We've had it for several years. We have received accolades from the end users. It's very easy to use. And I will say that our citizens that we work with every day, they're used to doing things online. There are times when we have individuals that have some trouble with online services. So they call the court and the clerks assist them over the phone to get them what they need. But I did want to say that we have had great success with it. The vendor has been very responsive anytime that we had questions. The training was excellent, and we've had great use of the system. If you have any questions, feel free to shoot.
All right. Thank you very much. Anything else?
Uh, just that we, as we go forward with the grant application, the second part of the proposal that I've got in front of you, there are some ongoing conversations. It is a grant that would come through the, the center district court. I'm trying to think of the specific name. The Criminal Justice Administration of the Department of Public Safety in the state. And we are working with them to, with the DA's office, to clarify some of the assurances in there to make sure that they are things that we can comply with and that are best interests of the county. So at this point, that's why we're potentially looking at two motions today. And one would be for the authorization to enter into the agreement with Tyler Technologies for the jury management system. And then the second motion would be for us to grant for the Tyler Systems program that we would enter into that and accept the grant contingent on confirmation by the DA's office that the grant is in the best interest of the county.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments?
My only question is, it's kind of a procedural one, and maybe this is better directed to Mr. Loomis. As I was looking at the actual agreement with Tyler, there are a few peculiarities in the way that it's formatted. They use the terms we and you throughout, without specifically tying those to the people at any point. Not only that, but at the beginning, it talks about this being between Tyler Technologies and client, but at no point does it say that client is specifically Story County. Now, certainly down on the signature page, we're listed as a signatory, but I don't know if that's being nitpicky or if it would be prudent to clarify or specify that Story County is you and your, and we and our is Tyler, and or specifically state that Story County is the client.
I don't think it's that significant.
Okay, so. Thank you. Then I have no other issues. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any.
Just maybe one other clarification. As the DA's office, Deputy DA Mr. Loomis, has proposed for previous Tyler software as a service contracts, we have achieved a modification to the indemnity clause consistent with what Mr. Loomis has had Tyler agree to in our other contracts for the Tyler Encode and the Tyler Eagle Reporter. So we are consistent in this contract with that language.
All right, thank you. So,
and excuse me, Mr. Hendel, is that something that needs to be noted, or is that included in what's been presented here?
It is. It would be noted as a modification to the contract as presented.
Okay.
You comfortable?
Yeah.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Absolutely. We did public comment already.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely. I, Commissioner Mitchell, authorize the Clerk Treasurer on behalf of the First Judicial District Court of Story County to enter into a service agreement with Tyler Technologies, Inc. for use of their Enterprise Jury Management SaaS at a first-year cost of $59,175 and subsequent annual fees for the term of the initial agreement, increasing a maximum of 5% per annum. I further move to include a modification to the indemnity clause to bring it in line with the other agreements we have with Tyler Technologies, Inc., as laid out by the DA's office. I also authorize the clerk and treasurer to accept, if awarded, a grant of $29,406.82 under the Coronavirus Emergency Supplemental Funding, CESF, program from the Department of Public Safety Office of Criminal Justice Administration to mitigate the current fiscal year budget impact of installation and service fees.
All right, there's a motion.
May I ask the list, well, treasurer would like to, can you add to what you just read, contingent on the clerk treasurer and working with the district attorney's office on all the matters that Mr. Hindle brought up during his discussion for that second half of the grant portion?
Sure. I make this motion contingent on the clerk treasurer's office working through all of the stated issues with the DA's office.
All good.
Sorry, not the motion, the approval. I think the approval can contingent.
All right, there's a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Max.
Thank you, Max.
On to item number 12, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval. Oh, we already got that covered. Sorry. Item number 13, discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible approval of subdivision participation and release form, which will have the effect of releasing Walgreens from all claims against Walgreens arising out of the opioid epidemic in Story County. By signing the subdivision participation and release form, the county is joining in the settlement agreement and release and is entitled to the benefits and is subject to the burdens of that agreement. The purported amount of the settlement will be $218,940,000. To be paid over 15 years, of which Story County allocation is $202,224.12. Deputy DA Keith Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This is a continuation of the settlements we've been seeing come through here for the nationwide opioid litigation that's been going on now for quite some time. This and the next item are settlements. This one is with Walgreens, and the next one is going to be with Teva. So the settlement with the state of Nevada is the $218 million plus. The allocation, that money is allocated to all the counties and cities and some small districts throughout the state. Story County's share of that amount will be $202,000 plus, and that we paid over 15 years. And this is a global settlement for, so it requires the that all the entities that are being allocated monies by this agreement in the state of Nevada agree with this. And as I understand it, the Attorney General's office is working with everyone. And today is the last day that we can approve this and get it to Mr. Kruger over at the Attorney General's office. So I'm submitting it to you for consideration.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve subdivision participation and release form for with Walgreens and authorize the chairman to sign.
There's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 14, this discussion for possible action, discussion and possible approval of subdivision participation and release form, which will have the effect of releasing Teva Limited from all claims against Teva arising out of the opioid epidemic in Story County. By signing the subdivision participation and release form, the county is joining in the settlement agreement and release and is entitled to the benefits and is subject to the burdens of that agreement. The purported amount of this settlement will be $145,960,024 to be paid over 15 years, of which Story County's allocation is $134,816. Deputy DA Loomis.
Mr. Chairman, this is the subsequent settlement that's being proposed. This is with Teva Limited. And again, is a global settlement for all the entities within Nevada. The state is going to make is going to be provided $145 million plus over 15 years, and Story County will get $154,000 of that over 15 years, and submitted also for your consideration.
Thank you, Keith. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve subdivision participation and release form with Teva and authorize the chairman to sign.
There's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. On to item number 15, this discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of business license second readings A through K. Vice Chairman, do you have any questions on this?
I have no questions.
Is there any public comment regarding the second readings? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed under item 15 as A through K.
All right, there's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 16, this is the second and final time for public comment. Is there any public comment today? Not seeing any. Brings us to item number 17, adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 10:57. The meeting is adjourned. See you all in a couple weeks.